Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I came down here and I brought my athletic greens. Amongst all the debauchery that is down here, I brought athletic greens, and I'm still starting my day with AG.
That's pretty amazing, Joe, honestly, that you go to, you know, again, like you said, this debaucherous sort of tournament. But hey, AG, athletic greens before tequila. You know,
I just before everything, you know,
yeah,
it's my wife has a t-shirt that says, but first coffee. It's so funny. And I'm saying, but first athletic greens, one scoop of 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help start your day right. Adaptogens. I didn't even know that was in there. No wonder I shot 74. I shot one under the 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens.
Yeah. I took my greens this morning. You know, what happens after I take my athletic greens. We won't go into detail, but let's just say it's a regular occurrence.
Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. It cost him $100 a day. And now, thanks to this podcast, they're going to give you not only their product, but a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do, visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues. That's the most important part. athleticgreens.com/daddyissues to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Cavalry Audio.
Only because of my sheer dedication.
This is crazy, Joe.
To this podcast.
I can't.
Why don't you tell the people?
I can't believe you're doing this. Joe is having the time of his life. He's tan. He's toned. His hair's growing in incredibly. He's got a Travis Matthews hat on. His glasses are just so clean. It's like he's not even wearing them. His shirt is beautifully pressed. He just shot 74 today. He's in Cabo San Lucas at a golf tournament. Yet he takes the time to get on Daddy Issues because he knows and understands how much this podcast means to the people listening. That is the dedication of Joe Buck. That is the beauty of Joe Buck. He is a work ethic like no one I've ever known. And if I could just have 1/16th of that, I would have won 7 Academy Awards by now.
That was good. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I did. I played good golf today. That's why I'm happy you got on here, because you're... If you really want to add in where we were and where we're now recording, you know, you're an hour and 30 plus minutes behind, but we pushed it back an hour today.
Yeah.
So you're selling a show and I'm here, and your last text to me was, don't yell at me. You know that I'm going to come on here firing at you, and I'm not. I'm happy because I played good golf.
Oh, God.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that selling a show and it got pushed back a little bit.
Thank you.
And God love you. I'm just here to root for you
and
let you know that I'm in your corner today.
Can we play a little role play game? Like, can we do that whole speech over, but this time you shot an 84? Then what happens?
Why? I mean, how many times do we have to be late on this podcast for you to understand that I have things to do also? This is not only about you. This is not about Oliver's little personal schedule that gets kicked around and everybody else is waiting on you. And now here we are an hour and a half after the fact. You know, if you want to do the podcast, let's do it. I don't feel good doing any of that.
Right? No, I know, but it's good. Now I know you can feel your uppity energy. I know what it's like to shoot a good score and everything just changes. The day gets brighter. There's no doubt about it.
The day gets brighter. A whole load is off my, and we're playing eightsomes. So playing with pros. Dante Jimenez is in our group.
Mm-hmm.
Your stand-in, Maxime Blandon, is crushing it.
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, he shot 69 on his own ball and didn't make anything. So, didn't make any putts.
He's a good dude, I'm assuming.
He's a good guy. You know what's odd, and maybe this can be a nice topic for our podcast right now. He's tapping into my inner voice that believes in my being, that believes I'm actually only 30.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 52.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically on a guy's trip with a 27-year-old young man mm-hmm. who's starting his business and he's successful. And yet I look at him as an equal. I have a 25-year-old daughter, almost, you know, damn near 26-year-old daughter. This kid's 27. I'm like, if this was the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, I am a big brother to this guy, and yet I'm hanging out with him. We come back in the evening. We watch Squid Game, which is just a freak show, and then go to bed, get up, and I'm talking to him in the morning and on the golf course and at all points in between like he's you,
yeah.
Like he's my longtime buddy. And it's really kind of grotesque that a 52-year-old man can look at a 27-year-old young man and think, oh, yeah, he's just like
me. We're
just
same.
Two guys hanging out.
No, but that's not true because you're a very young-spirited person. You may be in your 50s, but you don't act like you are in your 50s. Your energy is not like a mid-50s man who's sort of plodding along through his life. I mean, I'm 10 or maybe less than 10 years younger, and I feel like I'm 20 years old. Like, I don't think I'll ever really grow up, you know? So I think that it's not disgusting. I think it's you. That's why you relate to your daughters probably so well too, because you are their dad, but in some way you're on their level as well. You can speak to them and relate to them. You're not so far gone.
Well, I think it's brought home to me when we're listening, we're choosing music for the round of golf on the speaker, the newly purchased speaker in the cart.
Oh, on Roofless?
And it's like, on Roofless. And it's like, what do you want to listen to? And he's naming DJs.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, you want to listen to Boston? You want to listen to classic rock right now? How about
little Richard Marx? You know,
what about some Richard Marx? Maybe some Weird Al Yankovic mixed in. And he's like, no, you need to listen to Lupe Fiasco you need to listen to I can't even think of. I have a mental block on the
all the EDM artists. Like, quotes. You need the Diplo's new stuff.
Yeah, Diplo. Diplo is very good. And this kid's from Martinique. I love him like a brother, like a son. You'll never be replaced. I'm going to look it up right now, what we've been... Oh, Rufus Del Sol.
Oh.
Rufus Del Sol is EDM, but it's very cool. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm...
So
this is like my week with Marilyn.
Is that what you were playing? Was it like that sort of like
Rufus del Sol? Yeah.
Is it like heroin Ibiza music? Like that sort of like you know EDM stuff?
Right. It's like you're looking for bottle service as right. You know, you go around a corner up to the par three and it's very mood setting and but whatever. I guess, you know, I remember a saying on a placard at the Missouri Athletic Club. It says, "We don't stop playing when we grow old. We grow old when we stop playing."
Mm-hmm. This is true. I couldn't agree with that more. I might get that tattooed on me. Oh, speaking of tattoos, you know what? On my last night in Albuquerque, I just got super high and I was like, I'm just going to get really, really high tonight. You make that decision like to the point of panic. Like if you feel panicky, you've reached your limit. And I was just and I had my head.
I can't imagine you ever getting to that point.
Oh no, I do. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Where you're like, oh my God, like I can't breathe, but I kind of like it. Like I'm really baked now. Like, okay, ride it out, baby.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
But I started listening to David Bowie with my headphones on, Ground Control. And I was so immersed in this song. And I decided in the moment, and of course, I think it's gone away, but I still like it, but I'm not going to do it. I was like, I'm going to get a tattoo of the planet Earth is blue and there's nothing I can do. I'm going to tattoo that on me.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And I was going to do it like on my collarbone or like on my clavicle, like right here, you know, or like my chest area. Because I was so, you know, it's like the placard is what reminded me of this. Throughout the whole song, you understand what the song's about. And he's like, planet Earth is blue and there's nothing I can do. I just love that concept of you just can't control certain things in your life, you know? And it's easier just to let go. The planet Earth is blue and there's nothing I can fucking do. That's it. And I was so connected to that concept in my blazed state. I'm like, I'm tattooing that shit on my body.
Oh my God.
I'm not.
I mean, that
it.
Would have been such a mistake. You can do so much better. What about we built this city?
Oh God, yes.
We built this city on rock and roll. Put that around your neck.
That's a great idea. Maybe I can get we built this city and you put on rock and roll like on our arms and we can connect them together.
Yes. And then we'll get Josh to put knee deep in the hoopla and we'll get Margot to put.
Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your
knee
fight.
Knee deep in the hoop. Yeah, there you go.
Too
you
many it. Runaways eating up the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Oh, congratulations on your viral. You and I both kind of went, and since we've last talked, we've had kind of viral moments. And your sister singing happy birthday to Britney Spears. Why don't you walk us through what happened there?
Well, it was an interesting situation. She has a friend who is friends with my sister as well and friends with me, who is very good friends with, that's Wilder calling, who's very good friends with Britney Spears. Apparently, Britney has taken a liking to me. I you know, she's feeling Oliver Hudson, the Hudson Express. I don't know. She is married, but I get a text, a group text with Kate. And
she's married, but she's out of lockdown.
Yeah, she's out of lockdown. And we get a text saying Britney would lose it. She would love a birthday song from me, from Oliver. And I read it and I'm like, okay, whatever. I didn't even think about it. Then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, my sister's filming me and she's like, do a happy birthday for Britney Spears. And I'm like, okay. And I just sang the song and we sent it off to Britney. And next thing I know, it's on Instagram. And that was it. But she sent me back, or they sent me back a clip of her listening to it, which is great as well.
Oh my God. Does that seem a little
I don't know.
Weird?
I mean, no, I don't know. You know, it's fine. I mean, I got a couple more followers. You know, life is good.
And you did your typical song thing where you're like,
yeah,
happy birthday
to you. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're just feeling it and it's still kind of horrible, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was written up in like magazines, whatever, online. It was like, Oliver Hudson does like a snazzy R&B version of Happy Birthday.
Liked by Brian McKnight.
Oh, I love Brian McKnight. Yeah, but you went viral as well with the Mannings, right?
Yeah, that was last night. I did the Manning cast, and you know, a couple weeks ago, Peyton took a little shot at me saying, oh, Buck knows nothing about coverages, and Aikman's rarely wrong, but Joe Buck knows nothing. And I got all bent out of shape and sent every member of his family a text like, what the fuck? What the hell is bullshit? And it took 2 weeks. Peyton's like, hey, I heard you were upset. I was just, and by that point, I was almost embarrassed that I was upset about it. Because that stuff comes and goes. Nobody cares.
No.
And it has no lasting power whatsoever. I was like, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I'm just like, you know, when a guy of your stature says that I know nothing about what I'm calling, then, you know, it carries a little bit of weight. So, but all good, all good. He goes, hey, I still want you on the Manning cast. Will you come on? And I said, yeah. And then I got a text from him a couple weeks later, and I went on last night, and it was fun. You know, the hard thing was, and I was wondering if it only happened because I was in Cabo, but it didn't. Because I finally watched a lot of it, and they had Letterman on first, and then Aqib Tlaib, and then I was the last guest. Mm-hmm. There's such a delay. There's a delay. So Peyton's in Denver, I think, and Eli's in New Jersey, and then the game is being run out of Bristol, Connecticut, and then these different guests, Letterman's wherever he is in Montana, and Aqib Tlaib is wherever he is, and I'm in Cabo, and the delay doesn't allow you to really be quick. You know, you got to really be mindful of the other person and their question being finished or their comment being finished so you can jump in. And then there's that little gap. So it's awkward. And, you know, he said, you know, hey, Joe, do you ever wonder, you ever wish you could have a guest, you know, that you could interview when a game's a blowout, you and Troy could talk to? And my mind fired. I was very proud of myself. I said, yeah, you know, I think the last time I thought of that was when you played Seattle in the Super Bowl, because that thing was like, it was a blowout from the first snap, it felt like. And you're doing a game for 110 million people. Like, my God, this game sucks. And now we've got 110 million people. Now all you know, people are at home, they're at parties, whatever. They couldn't care less about the game, and it wasn't close enough for even the betting line to matter. And you know they're just waiting for the next Doritos commercial.
Yes, exactly.
That's all they care about.
Yeah. I saw.
So you're basically killing time.
He cracked
between
up,
like a GoDaddy commercial and Doritos.
But he laughed his ass off.
Yeah, and good for him. And and we're good. And Eli doesn't like me. He's never liked me. His wife hates me. The mom doesn't like me. Yeah, because I guess they think I've always been too harsh on Eli if he has a bad game. Like, whenever we did a game of Eli's, I would get a text like, hey, be good to Eli. And, you know, at some point, it was never intentionally harsh. It's just like if a game's not good and he's throwing interceptions, it's not going to sound good from the guys that are calling the game. If he's won, I did him winning a Super Bowl. I mean, all glory to Eli Manning when you do a game like that.
Yeah.
So it's just being sensitive of somebody that you love. And I would be the same way if it was my wife.
I know, but it's crazy. You're in a different kind of position, though. It's not even about your opinion. It's about you just calling a game. And what do they expect you to do? Be like, Eli Manning threw another pick. Like, I'm so sorry, buddy. Like, you're really great. he's a great person. You know, an amazing dad, amazing son, brother. He threw a pick. But you know what? It doesn't even matter because he's just a soulful, loving human.
That, if he comes back, if he makes a comeback, That's what I'm going to go with.
Right. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
So perfect. I spent the entire time. So one of my friends, this guy I went to high school with, Pat Bean, texted me. He's like, hey, can't believe you're going on with the Mannings. I know for a fact Eli and his family hate you. Like,
oh my God.
Okay. He goes, I probably shouldn't be telling you that right before you go on. He goes, but really, it's Eli's wife really didn't like you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I went in with the mindset of, I'm going to make Eli like me, and I'm going to rip Peyton to make Eli like me.
Yeah.
That was kind of my, that was my mission statement.
How did it go? How do you think you came out?
I think I came out well. In fact, at the end, I was like, Eli, I know you don't like me, but hey, you and I, we're going to, someday I'm going to be next year, we're going to take a long walk around a lake sometime, and I'm going to make you like me on that walk we take. And and as I was ripping Peyton, he's like, all right, you're making, and I was making fun of myself for the David Tyree helmet catch in the Super Bowl. I was explaining why you can't go crazy on a catch like that when you're not sure it's a completion. And he's like, all right, you're earning some points here. And then when I rip Peyton, he's like, oh, now you're really earning some points. I said, I'm just going to live in the land of trying to make Eli like me more. And if Peyton likes me less, then that's fine.
So essentially Eli was kind of in a roundabout way admitting that he didn't really care for you by saying, oh, you're scoring some points.
Yeah, he didn't fight me on the premise that I threw out there that he doesn't like me.
Right, he wasn't like, no, of course not.
Right. No, none of that. So at the end, I was like, hey, Eli, if you want to send me a Christmas card, I guess I'll text Peyton because it's his number that I have, not yours. And then this morning, I got a text from Eli. Like, here's my number. Yeah, that was a blast. Thanks for coming on. It was so funny. We loved it. Thanks for ripping Peyton. So it was good.
Oh, good. Hey, Joe, you made a new friend.
I made a new friend, and then Natalie, my daughter's like, oh, my God, the Twitter loves you. I was like, let's frame that fucking test. Because give it 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Twitter won't love me. But for a brief moment in time.
Yeah,
the world was smiling on me, and that means that payback is coming. And
no,
I'll get on
this
podcast at some point. Get smashed.
I think between this podcast, between sort of your social media, going out on other podcasts, you being you, going on the Mannings, we're slowly turning the Titanic around. You know what I mean? It's slowly turning around. I think.
Right off the bottom of the North Atlantic.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I guess you can't turn the Titanic around anymore. Maybe the Queen Mary. I should use a different boat. One that's not at the bottom of the ocean.
We got it like the Lusitania. No, that's gone.
Yeah. SS.
You got some sportscaster of the year thing from. For the win, like the top play-by-play personality. Like today's I shot 74.
God, it's all working.
There's no wonder I was not pissed when you were late.
Were you having cocktails on the golf course today?
Not many.
No,
I maybe that's why I played well. I smoked a cigar.
Mm.
I had a couple of beers.
Nice.
I listened to Diplo and whatever that other thing was. And now here we are doing a podcast while the entire resort is like going crazy, maybe less than a nautical mile from here. I'm sitting here looking into my computer screen.
So what's
my friend Oliver?
What's happening right now that you're not being a part of? Like what's actually going on?
Well, it's what is it? Six? Not much. There's a dinner at 7, so I'm good. I'm not. I have no FOMO right now, but tell me about what you're going to do. We talked about it last time.
Yeah.
I know you're getting your podcasts, running together,
mm-hmm.
but tell me what you're going to do tomorrow. How do you pack? Are you excited to go on a 6-day fishing trip, deep sea fishing trip? Do you
Very
know
much.
Who's coming on? Are you going to miss your kids? Will you make it back alive?
Well, my wife is always the one that's the most nervous, you know, even though it's safe. She doesn't seem to understand that, you know, technology has advanced to where we can see the weather patterns and you can see big swells and hurricanes if they were to be, you know, forming in the south. So we're good there. I'm not worried about that. But she just gets nervous when I'm on the ocean and I'm out of range. I'm hundreds of miles out to sea. But I'm excited. This is my passion. You know, I leave at 4 a.m, get on a boat in San Diego and cruise. And then we're out, we're off to Guadalupe Island to catch, hopefully, big tuna, you know? Packing was good. You want to know my pack? It's fishing clothes, dude. It's not too exciting. Packing a bunch of booze, some beer, you know. You got to make sure your gear is
jerky.
All perfect.
You bringing some jerky?
Bringing some jerky. And, you know, the whole gearing up is the fun part. Getting your rods together, making sure your reels are good, going to the tackle store, you know, just getting prepared. Is half the fun, but I'm tired, dude. Tired too.
But do you but before you go, like, I don't know much about fishing, but do you polish your rod?
No, no, you don't. You polish your rod when you finish fishing as like a reward, in a sense. You know, I mean, you fish hard. And once you're done, you polish the shit out of your rod, make sure that it's nice and shiny.
Okay, I have some other questions.
Yeah,
do you think Wahlberg did the right thing in The Perfect Storm, steering into that wave?
No,
like if you are faced with that,
yeah.
How are you going to approach a rogue wave coming just to overtake the boat?
They got greedy. You know, they went to the Flemish Cap. They knew what was happening. They knew what was coming. They didn't have the tech that we got today, but they needed to get that fish home. Otherwise, it would have spoiled and they would have lost, you know, however many dollars. But at what cost? You know, what they could have just stayed out at Flemish Cap. They could have just hung out. Rode the storm out somewhere else, but they headed right into the middle of it.
Is that what you typically would get if you trust George Clooney?
I think the real problem is that George Clooney was the captain. And if you had a real captain on the Andrea Gale, then nothing would have happened. But George Clooney doesn't really know how to skipper a boat. And that's the issue, really, if we're going to get down to it, you know?
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg
you. That's right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
I have two more things to bring up.
Okay.
Not about your trip, but kind of about your trip. But in the meantime, my mom has called me 4 times since we got on this thing. Now, my mom is 83.
Why?
And she knows I'm in Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she understands the fact that when she calls and I can't pick up, that I still know she called,
mm-hmm.
like with caller ID. I don't. And so then I'll call her back and she'll say, oh, I just called you. I'm like, yeah, I know, because it says missed call. 4 times with your number. So I got that.
But let me ask you a question before you go on. Do you get worried though? Like, or does she call consecutively so much that you know that there's nothing wrong? Essentially, she could be crying wolf all this time. And then right now, she actually needs you. There's something dire. But you're like, oh, mom.
Well, I can't do anything from here. There's nothing I can do.
Right.
So here, that leads me into my next question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in the 25 years that I've been a parent, I've ever been, business term coming your way, out of pocket.
Ooh.
For 6 consecutive days. Like, I don't think I've ever been, as here's an Instagram word for you, off the grid.
Ooh.
The way you're about to be off the grid. So is it unnerving to not talk to Aaron and her boyfriend before they go to sleep at night and your kids? Do you worry that something could happen over the next 6 days where you're needed and you're out of pocket and nobody, if something, God forbid, happens, can you be contacted out in the ocean?
Yes. Yes, I can. It's a great question. It's my time to sort of, you know, check out. It's always in the back of your mind, like, oh, if something goes wrong, I'm way the fuck out here. But I try not to think about that because what's the point of that? I'm just making myself crazy. I call them every night and there's a satellite phone on board. I actually have my own satellite phone now, but I can't find it, which is a whole other podcast. And so I can call them. I call them whenever I want. And I always call at least once a day. So, and if, God forbid, there was something to go wrong, Aaron knows how to get a hold of the boat. You know, I've been on this boat enough now to where I know the right people that she needs to call to, you know, contact the Excel. But quick stories. Is that your mom again?
Yeah.
Quick stories from the Excel, because I've been on this boat for a long, long time, and I've never been on the boat when this has happened, but I think they've had 4 deaths on the boat, you know, like heart attack, and like a few heart attacks, and someone fell down the stairs or whatever. When they're out to sea, and the body is, there's dead, it's lifeless, there's no recovery.
Yeah, I got that part. So dead, the body, the person's dead.
The person is dead. There is no, okay. Right. They put them in the walk-in freezer and just keep fishing.
Come on.
Yeah, they do. They do. Because if you think about it, you're sometimes, depending on what the trip is and how long it is, you could be 1,000 miles from home and you're in Mexican waters, you know? So you just put the body in the freezer and keep fishing.
So whose job is it to then call that person's family to tell them that dad's dead and in the walk-in freezer right now?
I probably, you know, the captain, I guess, you know.
What's your captain's name? Do you know what is the same captain every year?
Yeah, Justin.
Captain Ron?
Captain Ron. Captain Justin. Justin and Mike. Mike's the second.
Hey, this is Justin. Mike's here. You're on speakerphone. Just wanted to tell you that Bill's not coming home alive. He's in the walk-in freezer. Anyway, we're going to keep fishing. Right. Everything's good out here. Don't worry about us. We'll bring him home.
Oh, and by the way, he did catch a bunch of fish before he passed. How do you want me to deal with that? Should I take it to the processor? Do you want this fish? We flash freeze it and send it to you.
Would you care for the fish more than you would care for Bill's remains? would you like it? And I brought up Squid Games. I'm 4 episodes into that thing. Have you watched any
of
that?
I've seen the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's good. It's trippy.
It's unbelievable. The acting is so good, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. I'm watching it before I go to sleep, and it's invading my dreams at night. And watching it in Korean, and having the English subtitles, the acting is off the charts. I mean, if you think about these people being in this room,
I didn't do that. I watched the dub.
Yeah, no. You gotta watch it in Korean. It's so good.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that I could for some reason. I thought that was part of it.
But I watch Yellowstone in Korean.
Oh well, who doesn't?
Yeah,
I mean the Korean Rip. Costner is amazing.
It's amazing.
Squid Game is great.
Well,
and I think I'm gonna rewatch it with the subtitles because it took me a minute to get used to the dub, but I need to just watch it in Korean.
I agree. My sister just texted me that Bateman's in the new why aren't you up for any of that? These live like Family Ties or
You mean like a
Facts of Life, Different Strokes. Jason Bateman's in it, I guess, one of those.
What's he doing? You mean like a reboot?
You know, they do these live 70s, 80s sitcoms that are now done like a stage show in live TV.
I don't want to do that.
You'd be so good. You would have been so good as Willis in the Jeffersons or, you know, Kevin Hart is playing Gary Coleman in Different Strokes.
Is that real or are you making a joke?
No, I'm
really,
I would never joke about that because Different Strokes was a seminal show in my life. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
This is the new fad.
Ever? It's the new fad. It's the new I've fad. Never watched one of them.
Neither have
I. I lived for the Jeffersons.
I did too. I have no interest though. I just don't have any interest. But I hear they're great. Like Jamie Foxx was apparently amazing.
All in the Family, right?
Was it All in the Family? Yeah. Or was it? No, it was the Jeffersons.
Well, they did both.
They did both.
They did both. They went back to back, which they used to. I'm older than you, and that used to be, I think, the Jeffersons was a spinoff from All in the Family.
Oh, was it? I didn't even know
yeah.
that. Those are both Norman.
George Jefferson was Archie Bunker's neighbor.
Oh, wow. You've got all this history. Yeah, that was Norman Lear, right?
Norman Lear with the hat, yeah.
Yeah, how many
the
people
little
do you
Gilligan
think,
hat that he wears?
How many people turned off the podcast by now? You think? I'm talking Norman.
Does it matter?
Norman Lear.
You know the kids with their Norman Lear and all their. Oh, Margo's texted something into the command center. Let's see what she's got coming our way.
Different Strokes today.
Kevin Hart will depict the character of Arnold Jackson in a live reenactment of the sitcom Different Strokes. See, I do not lie. God. Even though Kevin Hart is a 40-year-old man mm-hmm. and Arnold Jackson was like an 8 to 12-year-old boy.
I know.
Kevin Hart is playing Gary Coleman.
That's part of the fun, Joe. Oh, you know what? I guess they didn't tell me not to say anything, but I'm doing Fox NFL playoff stuff again.
Hey-o! What are you going
to
do?
I don't know. It's on my phone. They asked me to do it. I said, of course. You know, so January 7th, I think I'm shooting something. I don't know. Something for the NFC, maybe? I don't know. But I was like, oh, hell yeah. Let's go. I'm excited.
So, I mean, that's phenomenal. Yeah. That makes me so happy. And I got Kurt. Kate did a years ago when I used to talk to your sister, she yeah. did a voiceover for the tease for Fox NFL Sunday. Then Kurt did the lead-ins to the two Super Bowl teams.
Yep.
Which was the Denver Seattle
Super
Bowl
game.
That I referenced earlier.
Yeah.
And now you did you played
I'm doing
the
playoffs.
Role of Lamar well, I did Hunt.
Last year. Oh, I did the Hunt. I did that's right. I played the guy.
Yeah, it was good. It was great.
It was amazing. Yeah, so I get to do it again. I can't wait.
Good.
But you haven't. Good. You have yet to have to promote the cleaning lady, right? Like you have yet to do it.
I haven't read anything. I think they've run your promos inside our game.
They
but
do.
I don't see any?
Yeah,
of
they do for sure. I'm sure at some point they will. Maybe during the playoffs. But the thing, no.
I mean, if I don't, that means they're not taking it seriously. So you better hope I do.
Right. We'll talk to Charlie. Charlie and I email.
Yeah.
We air on January 3rd, and that's prior to the playoffs. Right when playoffs are sort of starting, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. We air on the side of caution.
Oh. I love sides of caution.
That'd be another nice neck tattoo for you.
Or, you know, like a steakhouse where it says sides, you got cream spinach, cream corn, caution, mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't want to order too big. Like, should I err on the side of caution?
I'll have a side of caution, please.
Yeah, everybody's gone from the podcast. Hey, Maxime, come in and say hi because we're about to wrap up our podcast.
Maxime, bonjour.
Maxime, come here.
Maxime.
Benaka, por favor.
Are you going to come say hi?
Bonjour.
Hi, how are we doing?
How are you?
Because I'm wearing headphones.
Love that.
Tell him I say, qu'est-ce que tu fais maintenant?
He says, qu'est-ce que tu fais maintenant?
I'm giving golf lesson to Joe, and Joe just became one of the best golfer ever over the past 3 days.
I heard he shot 75.
Hear that, folks?
Yeah.
And Tony Romo is a good friend of mine. Joe Buck is way better.
You heard that. You heard it right there. From the man from Martinique, Maxime Blandon, everybody. Round of applause. Da 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 da.
Well, that
okay,
was cool.
We're getting off the podcast because Oliver's kids are in his room.
I know.
And you Maxime know, just came back.
Real quick, what we're doing is it's we call it mini Christmas. The kids like to do it. The tree is up. We each get each other a present, one present each. We go to Target and we have sort of a dollar amount we have to stay under. And then we have a little festivity and we do a little Christmas, early Christmas, and we exchange gifts. And this is what the kids are doing now. We have to go, we have to shop, and they're on my ass. So.
Okay. Maybe why don't you have one of the kids buy you a sat phone?
I have one. I just got to find it.
You won't find it, so I have them buy you another one.
Yeah, they're too expensive. It's not in the budget. All right. Have fun. Play well.
I hope to see you sometime in person.
Have a fun night. It would be great.
Yeah, don't die on the sea.
No, I know. And play well tomorrow, will you?
But if you do die,
yes.
Make sure they put you by the desserts in there.
Of course, dude. I want them to actually position my body in like a funny way, you know? Or just my hands out like this, and like they could put beer in it, like cold beer, so you could take it out, you know?
That'd be great. Yeah. Ice cream in one hand, beer in the other.
That's right.
Weekend at Ollie's. I like it. All right.
All right, Joseph.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.